Hello and welcome to the Magical Midlife Podcast, where you get a refreshing, uplifting and optimistic perspective on life in your 40s and 50s. I'm your host, Lindsay DeSwart, and I'm delighted that you've joined us here today. So let's jump right in. Hi and welcome to today's show. Today we have a new feature. We actually have a man on the show and his name is Joe Hoy and he is the owner of Hoy Fitness. And he specialises in helping midlife women to get back to fitness and to feel great about their body again, but without diets. So I was kind of intrigued by that. So I wanted to share this interview with you. I think you're going to enjoy it. And there's also a special giveaway gift at the end of the show. So listen right till the end. There'll be a link in the show notes so you can apply for this particular gift, which is very cool. Okay, enjoy the show. Good afternoon, good morning. Thank you for being with us today. It's so great that you can join us as our first man on the podcast. Welcome, welcome.
Very, very proud of that. And so it's good afternoon to you and good morning to me. How are you?
Yeah, very, very well. Thank you. As I say, awesome. I'm coming to the end of my day and I think you're just warming up into yours, aren't you?
We're just getting into it right now. Yeah.
Cool. So where are you actually?
I live in Vermont. So a lot, even the people in the US don't even know where Vermont is. It is on the eastern part of the state, of the country, very, very small. And when I meet with people on the West Coast, they ask me what state Vermont is in. So don't feel bad.
Okay, fair enough. I have to say, I've skied over there and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So slightly envious that you're in Vermont, but that's okay. I'm sure one day you'll love to visit Suffolk.
I would love to make it over there. Yeah, I don't know that area specifically, but I was supposed to go actually for a conference earlier this year and we didn't end up going.
Oh, okay. Well, there's potential then. Anyway,
absolutely.
Today I would love to find out about your story because I said I think I saw you advertising quite some time ago and I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit and went, young guy really doing the menopause or postmenopause or weight loss. Interesting take on this. Okay. And then when we spoke, I went, really interesting take on this. I really like this. So can you share your story a little bit, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you did see me advertising a while ago, not something I do anymore, but we've been around for a while. And so you're right. When a lot of ladies that are 40, 50 plus see this 29-year-old man talking about how he knows about menopause and he understands their body better than them and he can help them. In the beginning, I get a lot of eye rolls and
fair enough.
I get it, right? Why would I not? Until somebody starts to understand my story. And so let's get into it. So it's kind of a three-part story. The first part is that when I was 13 years old, I had two stepbrothers. They were over at their other parents' house for the night. It was just me and my mom. It was about 7 o'clock. And I told her, it's like, mom, my brothers are gone. I don't have anything to do. I'm kind of bored. Can you give me some ideas? And she's like, sorry, buddy, I'm going to go to the gym. So you can either come with me or you can stay home and make your own fun. And so, of course, I went with her. Mm-hmm. And the second that those gym doors opened, it's like the gates of heaven opened, right? It was like the angels were singing. It was like all lit up in the background. It was just lovely. And so I fell in love with the gym when I was 13 years old, thanks to my mom. And it's a good thing because if I hadn't, I don't know the route that my life would have gone. I was kind of turning into a shithead. Can I swear?
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fine.
Okay, cool.
We're an adult audience here. It's okay.
Yeah, okay, cool. So yeah, I was kind of turning into a shithead. And if I didn't get that healthy outlet, I don't know where my life would have gone. So number one, very thankful for that because she's the one that got me into it. It's nothing that had ever crossed my mind before. And so from the age of 13 to about 19, I was always really, really skinny. Like I said, I had two older brothers. And so with that comes being picked on a bit. You're too skinny. You're too slow. You're not athletic enough. And that kind of lit a fire in me to try and get bigger. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do it. So I graduated high school. I start going to college to pursue a career in surgery. And with that, I start to learn all about nutrition, all about how the body works. And I put that together with my exercise that I'm doing. And I try to finally get bigger in the right way. Right. And I did so well at getting bigger that I got too big. And so I went from too skinny to too fat still didn't love my body and had a new problem. Now I had to learn how to lose the weight. And so eventually, probably 3 years later, I did it. I landed right where I am now. I was very happy, very confident, very healthy and energetic. And coming from a small town, everybody saw all three stages of Joe. They saw me when I was skinny. They saw me when I was overweight. And then they saw me with this desirable body, lots of energy, very healthy. And people started asking me, they're like, Joe, I know that you didn't work with a coach because like I've seen you every day since you were a kid. You've been on your own. How'd you do it? And so I was always fairly entrepreneurial, right? I had these little businesses in high school and after high school, and something clicked. I was like, you know what? So many people are asking me. I think that I have something. Number one, I can make a few bucks at it. Number two, I can help somebody at something that I'm really passionate about. And so that's what I'm going to do. And transparently, I thought that I wanted to help people like me. Mm-hmm. Right? That makes sense. I wanted to help skinny kids gain some muscle, overweight kids lean out and see their muscle. And I thought I wanted to work with men. So I started running these online challenges for nutrition and exercise. And with all the marketing I put out, the advertising, the testimonials, all the things that I wrote, my first challenge had about 100 to 200 people in it.
Wow.
And all of them were 40 plus and they were female.
So your target market found you, hey?
And exactly. So I did not choose this demographic. They chose me. And it's just because of how I spoke. It's just because something I said connected well with them. And at first, I was a little freaked out. I was like, well, shoot, I've never worked with these ladies. I don't know if I can help them. And after that first challenge, I had a blast. They got great results and I just kept rolling with it. So we continued to do that. I continued to learn more about them. And meanwhile, if you remember, I was pursuing a career in surgery. Yeah. So for some reason, right? So I was running the group challenges while working in surgery. It was like a side hustle. Mm-hmm. For some reason, on the surgical team, there was five ladies and me. And they decided to stick me, the one man on the team, inside of the OB and GYN based rooms.
Okay. Not
a problem. Still super fun. But that means that I was spending 40 hours a week plus on-call emergency surgery with these GYN doctors and these GYN cases, learning about the female body, racking the doctor's brain, soaking up as much as I possibly could. And so all three of these things just came full circle. Number one, I connected well with the women. Number two, I understood their bodies in a massive way.
Yeah.
And number three, I wanted to pay back to people like my mom, because if I could do that, I would make her healthier and I would make their kid healthier. Mm-hmm. And if I could do that, I'm super happy. And yeah. So that's how I got into this coaching.
Fantastic. I love, as I say, I love the story. Obviously, we spoke beforehand and I found out the story and I just think it's fab. So I'm going to say it, because of this target audience, I've got to say kudos to your mom.
Yeah. Thank you very much, mom.
A question that, but please pass on my thanks, because that's awesome. Yeah. Was she always a fitness influence for you?
Good question. She was active, right? So like looking back, she would pick me up from daycare. And before she was allowed in the house, these are her words, before she was allowed in the house, she would go and get the kickball from the garage and we would play a couple games of kickball. So like she absolutely kept me moving. Right. And she would encourage me to try different things and move my body. But honestly, that wasn't me. Like I said, I was super unathletic. I was small, I was skinny, I was slow, I wasn't coordinated. But she always encouraged me. Mm-hmm. And I think that was massive, because now anybody that knows me, like if they didn't know me as a kid, they would think I was that jockey, always athletic kind of person. And it's just not true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a son who's the same, but he probably found the gym, well, through a health issue, he found the gym probably a little bit older than you, 13, 14. Mm. And Okay. Now you couldn't keep him out of it. And he is a completely different body shape.
But incredible.
He found it when he was ready for it. But we'd always tried to keep him active. We'd tried to keep all the kids active because I couldn't do anything but be active. So
that's awesome.
So when you're working with women, and obviously you meet all sorts of different types and background, how many of them are coming to this purely because of postmenopause? And sort of how many are coming to this as a health scare, or, you know, what brings them to take this action with you? Because your approach is quite different, and we'll get onto that in a minute.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think a lot of them come to me because of the things we say about anti-dieting and stopping restrictive dieting and just cutting calories drastically. But at the same time, they've entered this confusing stage of life where their body doesn't feel like their body anymore.
Mm.
Right. And so it's almost like that double whammy of I've cut too many calories for far too long. And now I have this massive brain fog. I can't focus. I can't sleep. I am impatient with everyone. Like I don't feel like myself. And so after spending some time with me in our free community, they kind of learn that there's a connection there. Like if they fuel their body the right way, no, you can't just coast through menopause perfectly, but you can make it a whole hell of a lot easier.
Yeah, I totally agree. For me, it's all about the lifestyle choices.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. You just mentioned it briefly then, the whole anti-diet thing. Okay. Let's go. Tell us about this.
Okay, cool. So I hate diets. I tried them. Simply put, I hate diets. I tried them my entire life from 13 to 19. I tried, you name it, like keto, high carb, low carb, high fat, high protein, usually in calorie surpluses, which would mean you're trying to gain weight. But either way, they weren't realistic for me. Like there's not a chance in hell that I can't not have carbs, or I can't eat low fat, or I have to have a certain amount of protein. Like I just want to eat the way I want to eat, and I want it to work for me. And then the same way goes when I got overweight, then I tried keto for real and I cut carbs to an absolute minimum and I felt like crap, and it lasted me 3 weeks and I couldn't do it anymore.
Pretty holy. So,
I know, I was impressed.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah. And so we see the same thing with the ladies we work with. Like most of the women that we work with at this point, they've done 3, 4, 5, even more than that diets. And they've started to realize, like, wait a minute, all of these have been the same. They're restricting me in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And I realize that when I'm restricted, all I want to do is more of what they say I can't do.
Oh, yeah. That's me. Right? Absolutely to a T. I become like obsessed with food.
We just had that conversation before we started this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so our take is that if you can have the right amount of calories to keep you full, mm-hmm. if those calories can come from wherever you want, assuming you're having mostly healthy food sources, those calories give you energy. You can eat whenever you want. This whole process becomes pretty simple.
Yeah, seriously. It's common sense. It becomes commonsensical, but with the science behind it.
Exactly. And so what we found is for those ladies that have dieted for years or even months, we can't go straight into weight loss. Because 9 times out of 10, they're already eating at a weight loss number of calories, but they're not losing weight. And so that in itself is a massive problem that needs to be solved. So it's almost like we call it a diet detox, which is detoxifying your body from the damage that past diets have done. So what we need to do is actually introduce more calories into somebody's life and show them that they can feel better, they can live better, they can have a better quality of life with more calories. And instead of just taking those calories and storing them as fat, which is what generally happens when you eat low calorie for too long, you can take those calories and burn them as energy, because that's all calories are for us, is energy. It's like gas in a car.
Mm.
You know, and so once we show someone, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners' eyebrows will shoot up when I say this, but once we show someone that they can eat 2000 calories, 2200 calories, 2400 calories a day, and stay the exact same weight they are, but change how their body looks and feels and functions, then we're getting somewhere.
Oh, yes. I look forward to hearing more about that. So what are the, I mean, long term, is this something that people do for a short time?
The diet detox?
Yeah.
Yes and no. So what I talked about going to 2000, 2200, 2400 calories, that's what we call your maintenance calories. Okay. And so all that means is you're eating a certain amount of food that doesn't make you gain weight and mm-hmm. doesn't make you lose weight. You're simply just maintaining where you are.
Okay.
And that's where people need to live for their entire life, which means people need to eat way more food than they think that they should. But like I said, you're maintaining, you're not going to lose weight there. So in the diet detox phase, we wait until you have energy. We wait until your cravings are gone. We wait until you're sleeping good, your sex drive is up, your relationships have improved. And that's what tells us that somebody's ready for weight loss. So then we'll bring them back into a calorie deficit, not as drastically as before. We kind of go with the less is more method of the smallest calorie deficit as possible for the most amount of results.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And so if we can make somebody still enjoy their food, never be hungry, and lose a pound or two a week, they could do that for life, really, and never feel the need to be restricted or binge or be stressed because they're just living a normal life. They get to eat what they want. During the holidays, they can have some donuts or cake and feel fine and still be successful. And so that's our goal, is just to make it realistic.
Fantastic. And so how does that work hand in hand with the exercise? Because certainly within midlife, I mean, I've had to completely change my sorts of exercise. And you're all, there's so much about, you know, you've got to do heavy weights, et cetera. You just hear so many things about what you should and what you shouldn't be doing. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, I'd love to hear how you changed your exercise as you entered midlife. But what we see is that sometimes doing more isn't always the best answer, right? Like, we'll have ladies that come to us exercising 5, 6, 7 days a week, and it's all high intensity training.
Yeah.
And while high intensity training is not bad, it can be if you're doing too much of it, right? Because it's a stress. Mm. And if your body's under too much stress, it's going to fight back. And so what we like to see is, number one, ladies getting into strength training for a couple of reasons. Number one, as we enter menopause, or as ladies enter menopause, they are losing bone density rapidly.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to get into osteopenia, osteoporosis. And by strength training, we're keeping our bones strong. Right. So we're making these ladies injury resistant for the rest of their life. Ooh. Right. The next thing is that muscle costs more calories than fat does. Right. And what I mean by that is, If we think of like calories as a currency, muscle is really expensive. And so that means if we have a lot of muscle on our body, we get to spend a lot of calories on it, which means we get to eat more food. And at the end of the day, every single person likes food. We all want to eat tasty food.
Yeah.
And so if we get someone in the gym, we can get them to either keep their muscle or build a little bit more. That means they get to eat super tasty food, a lot of it every day, and still be successful.
It sounds like a win-win to me.
Sounds pretty fun, right?
Yeah, seriously. Can you think of any case studies of ladies that you've worked with that have, I know, either come from a really interesting background to get to where they are today, or that their challenge has surprised you? Because I remember there was one, I think I read on your Instagram story, about a lady who just wasn't getting results.
There is, I can share that story of the one person we haven't got results. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, but you did get results in the end, didn't you? You just had to go around the houses. Or if you can think of another really good case study that.
Yeah, sure. So
we come from such different backgrounds.
Yeah, it's tough, right? And so I guess to answer that question, before anything in our coaching, before we make a program, tell you what to do, we have an observation period in order to do exactly what you just said. So we can figure out where somebody is. And during that observation period, we look at things like calories, where those calories are coming from, what times of day you're eating, how much you're sleeping, what you do for exercise, heart rate, calorie burn, all those. And then we get a really clear picture of what somebody's life looks like. But we did have one lady, she's a marathon runner, like a big marathon runner. Hats off to her because she is impressive. She was running up to 4 or 5 marathons a year.
Holy.
Yeah, exactly. And so she was killing it, but her body was under so much stress from basically training all year long without any recovery that she was super resistant to weight loss. And so we had to, and it was hard because it's a mental thing too. Like, she enjoyed the marathon running and racing. We had to back her off marathon training and racing.
Right.
And do less in order for her body to achieve more. And so
I totally understand that.
It's it's a scary thing when she thinks about it, though, because she's like, well, all I've ever been told is running is great. I'm burning calories.
Yeah.
I'm moving my body. Why am I not losing weight? I was like, and she's like, and you're telling me to eat more food and run less. I'm like, yeah, you need to trust us. Like, just trust me for a little bit. And so she did. She felt better. Her body changed. The scale did not change immediately, but her body changed. And so now we're finally getting it so that she can consistently lose weight week after week. And she's good to go while doing less.
Okay, that's really interesting, because one of the biggest wake-up calls for me, and I didn't even realize perimenopause was a thing way back, I thought, oh, I'll do a half marathon. That's what I always relied on to lose weight and to just, you know, stay trim, stay fit, among other classes. Anyway, so I did the half marathon. It was like hell on earth. I'd never hated running more, and I put on weight, and I was injured for 6 months afterwards. So I totally get what your client was saying, like, but this goes against every single thing that I've ever done. Like, what the heck's going on?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I get it. And so what about, are people hesitant about weight training? Because I know some women can be a little bit reluctant with it.
Very. Yeah, very. Especially when it comes from me, right? So if anybody sees the video, I'm not a small person. Right. So like I have a good bit of muscle, and I'm telling these ladies like, hey, get in the gym, do what I'm doing. And so they think that if they do what I'm doing, they're going to look like I'm looking. And it's not true for three different reasons. Number one, I'm a male with different hormones than them. Mm-hmm. Number two, I've been doing this for 15 years consistently. They're just starting. Number three, they're eating less food than their body needs, and I'm eating more food than my body needs. Right. And so eating more food allows your body to gain weight. Eating less food doesn't allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's physically impossible in three ways that they're going to look like me. but it is a scary thing, right? Because especially, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but like with your age group, Lindsay, when you were younger, you were probably told not to strength train as much. Like you would get too bulky. It wasn't a good stigma for women.
Well, I'm a slightly different background because I was probably weight training from about 14.
Okay.
And absolutely loved it and could never understand why anyone was inhibited to go into any gym at all. So I was a rower at university and okay. Used to go in there into the gym and quite frankly intimidate most of the men in there because of what we were doing. But it was very targeted and very focused. And the challenge at the end of that is, because I've always had that background, when my body then changed in menopause, I more than anything, I was just incensed at the injustice of it all going, but I've trained my whole life. How dare my body let me down like
that?
And it's probably a different conversation, but it's still confusing and you're still beating yourself up about it.
Absolutely.
Which yeah. Obviously only raises cortisol, and we all know where that goes, which is nowhere
right good. Right in the middle. Yeah, so you're not the best person to ask that question, but I've got really to give not. It to you. rowers are very impressive.
When they're in shape.
Yeah, true.
And very hard taskmasters when they are not, is all I'll
yeah, say. I'm sure.
Yeah. No, I did an indoor rowing challenge because my son started rowing at university. And then so I got re-inspired and went, I can get back on the rowing machine. I can do that. So I jumped on to do that. Oh, my goodness. It was the most embarrassing, excruciating experience I've ever had. And that was midlife rowing. And I went, you know what? This is bad. I've got to readdress how I'm handling this because I'm not handling it well.
Sure.
Yeah, it was bad. Anyway, so that's why I'm thoroughly intrigued by what I've seen from you. And then also, obviously, I was lucky enough to read your book. So that also really inspired me because it's so counterintuitive.
It is.
I can't be the first person who's ever said that.
Oh, no. Everybody. Yeah. Everybody until they think it through. Like again, before we started this conversation recording, like you're like, it's counterintuitive, but when I think it through, it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another really big problem that we have is people that want to join our program because they've seen the results we've gotten. they're still hesitant. Like, they've seen the results, they know the person that got the results, but at the same time, it just goes against everything they've learned. I'm telling them to possibly exercise less, definitely eat more, and I'm telling them they're going to look like their friend. And they just don't, they don't trust me. And so we get a lot of pushback in that first week or two until they start to see that the scale hasn't changed, but their rings are sliding off their finger, or their face is slimmer, or they have energy and they're sleeping through the night, or they're actually feeling hungrier as they eat more, but they're not craving the crappy foods that they were craving before. And then they're like, okay, you tell me to do whatever you want, Joe, and I'll do it because this works.
You're going to end up, you know, training other guys of how to make their partners actually listen to them at this rate. You just got to prove yourself first. My goodness. You're going to evolve into a whole different level of coaching.
I might. You're right.
Anyway, so yeah, obviously I'm thoroughly intrigued, and it's really inspiring that your mum actually was your inspiration to do this. Can you tell me a little bit more about the type of ladies that come and work with you?
I can try. They're all very different, right?
Fair enough.
So we'll have the lady that I just explained who's running 4 marathons a year. And then we'll also have someone that is completely sedentary. They work at a bank and they don't understand what calories are.
Right.
And so it's, we have this very, very wide range of people that we serve. And so for that reason, like, alone, I couldn't do it. I realized that quickly, that I could help most women 40 and older, but there are still things that I don't know. And so for that reason, we built a team. Our head coach is a registered dietitian. She spent years in the hospital before joining us. Our next coach is an intuitive eating coach. So her job is to kind of take away the tracking apps, the calorie counting, all of that, and make it a lifestyle for you.
Oh, and that's then refreshing.
It's amazing. Yeah, because we don't want to do that forever, right? Yeah. And our next coach is a functional nutritionist. So for the ladies that come to us with things like PCOS, massive hormone imbalances, gut health problems, we can fix that too. So, I mean, as long as somebody's experiencing some of the things I've talked about, we can generally help.
So how does this work alongside HRT when people are on HRT? Or how does it?
So in this way, I wouldn't look at HRT as a supplement all the time, but in this way, I would look at HRT as supplementing somebody's progress, right? Because the only way we can make progress in weight loss is through manipulating our calories. That's it. But if you have off-balance hormones, you're not going to get very far. And so we could have the perfect play for calories. And if hormones are off, we need to do something. And if HRT is that answer, I love it. Amazing. I have no qualms with HRT.
Yeah. No, I'm of the same. It's not something I've chosen to do, but it's interesting. I've heard somebody say, you know, I'm definitely team HRT or team not HRT, and I'm team do whatever the hell works for you, whatever you need to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So people shouldn't beat themselves up about that. It's you've got to do what works for you. And the other thing that I find about menopause, and certainly about feeling healthier through it all, is it comes down to, it's such an individual path.
It is. It's massive. Yeah.
What, I mean, saying that though, what's the advice that you've seen out there that you think, actually, I'd just be avoiding that like the plague? It's just not wise advice. Because obviously you're in the space, you hear a lot of stories.
The thing that makes me the craziest is when people come to me before making any lifestyle changes, right? And so by that, we're talking stress management, hydration, sleep, nutrition, or exercise. Before doing any of that, somebody will come to me and tell me that they just bought XYZ supplement and that it's going to fix their problem, right? And so why does that make me crazy? Because if you look at the definition of supplement, it says something that enhances something else.
Right.
And so if there's nothing else going on, a supplement is going to enhance nothing.
I never thought of it like that, but it's quite amusing. Okay.
Makes me crazy.
And so what sort of supplements? I mean, there are so many. Some are good and some you may as well go straight in the garbage.
Yeah.
Are there any companies that you actually think do a really good job?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't ever push a certain company. And it's funny because I just had somebody try and get me to push their supplements last week.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I'm more on the bandwagon of just natural supplements, right? And so it's going to be dependent on what somebody's menopausal symptoms are. Mm-hmm. But for most of them, we can mitigate them with the right supplementation after lifestyle is fixed, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'll just give an example here, but if sleep is an issue, right? A lot of times someone will have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep. Depending on what that is, we have three or four different natural remedies we can give to a client and help with that. And so let's say somebody has trouble falling asleep, I would recommend either collagen or magnesium glycinate before bed, right? And it's not necessarily the collagen or the magnesium that does the trick, but it's the glycine that's found in both. And so that's going to help you, actually, I lied. That's going to help you stay asleep, not fall asleep.
Okay.
Correction. And so if somebody has trouble falling asleep, we could look at things like L-theanine, ashwagandha, right? Just very natural things, but they'll mellow us out, help us fall asleep. Mm-hmm. When I say us, I mean ladies, so not me. But
yeah.
So that's just an example. No specific brands.
With the women's circles that I run, and last Friday, I had a homeopath as my guest speaker, and same thing. She was saying exactly the same thing, because obviously she promotes all natural help and support. Great to hear. Awesome. Really good to hear.
I love when people are on the same page.
So do I. It makes life so easy, because there is so much conflicting information out there.
Yep, exactly.
So that's really cool. Okay, so I'm always really conscious of time on this podcast. What is the best way for people to contact you or to find out more or even to get hold of your book?
Yeah, absolutely. So probably the best place to find me would be my Facebook. You can just type in Joe Hoy. You can find me
on Joe.
Joe Hoye. Yes. Okay. You can find me on Instagram. So that's Hoy Fit, HoyeFit. And then I know we talked about this before, but I'd also like to give away 6 months of free coaching to one of your listeners.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I got that set up. I'll send you the link after. Maybe we can just drop it in the show notes. But what that's going to look like is truly no strings attached. Like, we're not going to sell you anything once you get in the coaching. If you win, we're just going to coach you. And like I said, 6 months of free coaching. You're going to have to fill out a quick form. I think there's four questions on there. So name, email, phone number, and why you think you should win. You need to give me the right email and phone number, or else I can't contact you and you can't win.
Okay. Yeah.
But I promise you, you would be surprised. I promise you, I'm not going to spam you with a bunch of crap after. I'll never text you again.
Cool. Well, that's very generous. Thank you, Joe. That would be awesome.
You're welcome.
Cool. Love that. Okie dokes. Going to say a huge thank you. And thank you for being our, I think it's called an inaugural man on the podcast. Not sure who will follow, if they will. I don't know, but we'll see. But I really appreciate it. Really enjoyed the conversation today. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you've enjoyed the conversation, please come and leave a review. If you go to the Apple Podcasts app and scroll down to the bottom of the podcast page, and then you'll find the ratings and review section. Please invite your friends to come and listen by sharing the link. And you can join the conversation and let me know who you'd like to hear interviewed and what topics you'd like discussed over at Facebook on the Magical Midlife group. You can also find me on Instagram at Lindsay DeSwart, where the conversation will also continue. I can't wait to see you on the next episode. And once again, keep living your magical midlife.